attitudes are infectious, you know, they are contagious. And if you can stay positive, you're not only going to help yourself, but you're going to help others around you.
Welcome to the MediCorps Minute Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Langmaid. Today in the studio, I'm joined by Mike Beneke. Mike is one of the owners and the executive president at Beneke Construction here in Rochester, as well as a self-proclaimed green building enthusiast. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm really good. Thanks for having me in.
Absolutely.
Yep. I am self-proclaimed green building enthusiast, but you know, I am also just a green building enthusiast.
See, when you put that on there, I'm like, I gotta ask, you know, what is this green? I get the idea, but you know, why I'm so excited about the green building?
Well, a green building, you know, is usually built very energy efficiently, built very durably. You got some great features, bringing in natural light, outside air, a great indoor environment. That's the kind of stuff that gets me really excited.
Yeah.
So a green building is usually a better building.
Right.
And doing things better, that's just better.
That's been a key way.
It is. Yeah.
No, it's fun. What, kind of before we even get into things, what, just for listeners, what is Beneke? What do you guys do?
So Beneke Construction, we actually rebranded the company's name in 2016, so really not that long ago. Our company name used to be Alvin E. Beneke Inc. So some folks that have been around town probably recognize that name. We are a general contractor. Mm-hmm. We work in commercial construction. What makes us a little bit unique is that we self-perform a lot of the work. So our team consists of a lot of trained craftspeople,
right,
you know, doing the carpentry work, doing the concrete work, the masonry work, demolition, all kinds of work that you would see on a job site is done by Beneke team members. And
okay,
we take a lot of pride in that. So,
and the difference would be kind of like a general contractor that does commercial but subs out more of their stuff.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I would call us more of a traditional general contractor, a builder.
You have a lot of it in-house.
Yes.
You kind of do everything. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Very cool. So, Rochester, you've been here all your life?
I pretty much have. Yeah, I would consider myself a lifer. Was born in Rochester.
Rochester native.
Grew up here. I did leave to go to the big city and the big lights in Minneapolis for college.
Yep.
And immediately after graduating, came right back to Rochester and started working in the family business.
Did you like the cities?
I did. Yeah. I mean, it's got a lot of amenities up there.
Yep.
You know, I don't really appreciate the traffic and some of the density and just some of the chaos that goes with that. And Rochester is. That's just a great place to live. I'm super biased and bullish on Rochester, but you can raise a family here. You can meet a lot of people here. I think it's easier to make an impact in the community,
right,
you know, when the community is of a certain size. So I love it here.
Yeah,
I liked it there, but it's much better here.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up down in Wabasha, so we got here a little bit, but just being in Rochester the last 4 years, you know, I've really grown to like the size and just community. It's not too big where like you got all the big city stuff, but it's not too small. You can still do things and you still have all the stores and necessities that you need, you know, here. So I really like it.
Yeah. I think a lot has changed too. I mean, just over the past, whatever period you want, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years.
Well, yeah. And you've gotten to see it change a lot more, you know, than I have, but, even in these last four, I feel like they're just progressing quite a bit.
There's a lot of momentum, a lot of activity, a lot of development. Things that people want to see in their community are starting to happen, and that doesn't come without, I guess, some folks not appreciating exactly what's happening or the direction of the community, let's say. But I think for all intents and purposes, it's very exciting. A lot of good things happening. I have friends that let's say after high school, they went to college or they went somewhere and they just aren't Rochester people anymore. And they come to visit and they say, wow, Rochester's really grown up, or this, this and that has changed. I remember there was nothing to do. well, keep in mind, you know, you were 16 at the time, you know, mm-hmm. the things that you like to do now are a little bit different than the things that you were looking for there. I mean, yeah, there was only one arcade.
Right.
That's all you cared about at the time. There's a lot more adult stuff That's going great. On now.
Yep. So what, you know, in college, what did you graduate with degree-wise?
So I went to the University of Minnesota, pursued 2 degrees, civil engineering and construction management. So finished the 1 and 4 and then tagged on the other after the fifth year.
Yeah.
So,
and did you go like specifically knowing, hey, I want to come back and work in the family business?
I did not. I was a free spirit. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I knew that, you know, I was good at math, mm-hmm. I liked numbers. I, you know, was in drafting class in high schools and, you know, took some CAD classes and stuff like that. So kind of had that part of my mind that I really liked, but then I also really appreciate music and creativity and ideas and things like that. And I did not know. I went undeclared. Mm-hmm. It didn't take very long to, I think some folks would say, get some sense knocked into me. Like, okay, calm down. You need to figure something out here.
Yep.
It didn't take very long, but I went unknowing.
Yeah. So, but you did, you probably did grow up working.
Yep. When I was little, you know, occasionally my dad would tote us around to a job site. It was usually when there was a problem. So, so I recall a few of them, like on Sunday mornings where everyone piled in the car, we're going to church and he drove a Suburban and he called it the bus.
Yep.
And so he would always say, the bus is leaving. And if you weren't in the bus, he would actually just drive away. The bus was leaving. So a lot of times, you know, we had to
put... So you just stay home if you missed the bus or what?
You know, there was a few times where I was left at places. I was never left at home, though. I was always somewhere much more uncomfortable than that. But yeah, definitely everyone has these experiences where you're putting on your socks in the car on the way to church or whatever. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there'd be an issue at a job site. So either before or after church... John, he would swing us through, you know, we'd be looking at a job site. He'd be looking at some type of problem. Yeah. Nobody knew what was going on except him.
Yeah. Was it fun to just like see everything though?
Yeah, I think it was fun. It was, you know, and I don't think I understood what we were looking at. I never really had that mindset of this is a job site or, you know, this is what dad does for his work. I was just kind of around and... Probably what not about, even thinking about it.
What about older though? You know, into teens, you know, higher high school years. You know, were you still working with the company, or were you doing other things?
No, I did end up working with the company. My first job with Beneke was when I was 15.
Yep.
So I'm not sure if that's appropriate or not. You know, as far as age goes, but I started working in the shop, and it was just, you know, basically sweeping, mm-hmm. organizing. I remember one of my first tasks, and this was, you know, during a summer, was to like organize all the hoses. Hoses are awful. These big rubber hoses, I mean, they're just a disaster to handle. They have all this, you can't barely get them around. Anyway, we had like hundreds of feet of hoses for whatever reason.
Yep.
And my job was to chop them up into like 50-foot sections, put the ends on them.
Wow.
And then wind them up and hang them up, and that was a very exciting job.
I remember in high school when I worked for a landscaper, I got to drive the wheelbarrow.
Nice.
That was my job.
So driving it like with your body.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yep.
I know he said he wanted me to move the truck once. At the time, I didn't know how to drive a car with, you know, a shifter in it. An automatic or a, you know, manual. And I was like, yeah, I can't. And he's like, well, back to wheelbarrow. I'm like, all right. But no, that's great.
Yeah. So I worked more the summers after that, and after that, kind of through high school. I did get to work on some buildings, you know, that you would recognize. I got to work on where Whistle Binkies is, you know, got to work on the footings on that building. I think it was probably the same summer, the footings of what used to be called the Chateau Theater. North, not the downtown one, the Paragon Theater, I guess.
Yep.
And you know, there is a great pride in construction where you get to, you have physically worked on something and then it stands there for a long time and you're able to see it, remember what it was like. And I certainly did not have nearly as much experience in the field as many others that have come through the company. But it's amazing how you remember those things and take great pride in it.
I mean, we've done, just over the years, we've done a few projects with you guys. And to hear some of the guys say, you know, that the analogy of putting the stamp in the concrete, you know, getting back to years down the road, or showing their kids, hey, you know, dad built that building, you know, things like that. I think there is a lot of pride in that. And it is cool to see that, you know, because it lasts, you know.
Yeah. A lot of buildings will last the test of time. I mean, they may last 50 years, 100 years.
Yep.
Some don't last all that long. You know, you see some buildings and it's like, wow, didn't that just get built? Or am I getting old? It's already getting demolished. But I think that's what is very attractive about the construction industry for people is, you know, being able to see a work product for a long time, having spent lots of time and energy and difficult physical work, and to see that product, to be able to have the pride to tell your spouse, your partner, your kids, hey, I worked on that. That's really rewarding.
When you were, you know, in some of those later high school years, was the industry like exciting to you, or was it like, hey, this is my summer family job, I'm just kind of doing this?
I would say it was very difficult work for me, and that made it a challenge to
enjoy. Like labor intensive?
It made it a challenge to enjoy, quite honestly. And I didn't have a bigger picture at that time of, you know, this might be laying the groundwork for understanding the industry, because I wasn't committed to, you know, working at the company.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one job, actually, our general superintendent, Rich Bakken, taught me a very good lesson in the low end of the totem pole, we'll call it. I got to chip the mortar off of bricks. This was on a remodel of Mayo High School. And we tore down a bunch of brick walls and needed to reuse the bricks so that it matched in some other areas. And there was just this gigantic pile of bricks laying there. And he said, you need to go chip the mortar off that bricks and off those bricks and then stack them up. So I spent like weeks chipping the mortar off of the bricks and stacking them up onto pallets.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the minutes that I was doing that, I was not enjoying it.
Right.
But today, I realize that was good for me.
Mm-hmm. You need that, you know, that kind of, I mean, it does grow like one work ethic, but then you don't appreciate it till later usually.
Yeah.
Until you understand it a little bit more.
That's been some of my perspective on parenting. You know, it's like, I did not know how difficult that was for my parents and how much, appreciation that I have for them now that I was very kind to my parents. I love my parents, always have, but, the appreciation grows deeper, you know, every single day that I've been dealing with my own family and own kids.
Mm-hmm. That's great. When do you think that you discovered, you know, the interest in business, the entrepreneurial side? You know, was it college? Was it after, when you came back and started working for the company again? You know, when did you get that excitement to go?
I think I had like a switch point. It's funny, we're a family business. Our family's also close outside of business. We used to have a family dinner like every Monday. We called it Monday night dinner. And it wasn't just like my nuclear family. It was aunts and uncles, cousins. And it was, realizing now that that was a really special thing. And we kind of did that all the way up until my grandmother passed. She was the hostess. And we always had Christmas Eve at her house also.
Yep.
And it was one Christmas Eve. I think I was I should remember this. It was either my sophomore year or freshman year. And my cousin, who I work with every day, Aaron, he took me aside, and you know, there were probably a few libations involved, and it was towards the end of the evening. It's Christmas Eve was always an evening thing. Mm-hmm. It was a nice party. And he took me aside and he said, you know, you really ought to consider coming to work for the company. It's rewarding. It's fun. I think you'd really like it. And it was basically the next day that I said, I'm going to dedicate myself. I'm going to get an engineering degree, and this is going to be my path. Hmm. So I went from no plan to time to get serious.
Yep.
Around Christmas.
That's great. So coming back, working, you know, in the family business, I'm sure it looks a lot different than what it does now. You know, what kind of things were you doing, you know, right away? And then how did that transition through the years, even to now, you know, executive VP and owning part of it?
Yeah. You know, we have evolved a little bit as far as having better definition of roles, you know, and maybe structuring a team a little bit with a little bit more intention than what it used to be, which I would say was everybody just does everything they can at all times mm-hmm. to make the projects go.
Yep. Yep.
I think my first title was actually expediter. That was the title. Yeah. And it was kind of like a joke. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe that's, I don't know. But I was an expediter, which is like, make things go better. And I remember that. I mean, it's a great concept.
Absolutely.
You know, your job is to make things go quicker and better. But I did have an opportunity, like right out of college, to work on the Dan Abraham Healthy Living Center, mm-hmm. first phase. Excellent, you know, experience gained out of that project, coming out of the ground. It had, you know, it's got the pool, it's got the fitness, it's got a cafeteria, kitchen. It's just a really awesome building, and that was a great opportunity. That right out of college, it was something that, you know, I'm always going to remember. It gave me great experience, mm-hmm. laid a groundwork.
Yeah, I mean, just like that whole position idea, that's like you almost need someone that can come in and just focus on that, because when you're doing the work and trying to get everything done, it's hard to intentionally step back and go, okay, how's this all working? Can we be more efficient in certain areas? You know, so like really the whole systems and strategy behind a lot of what you do in business, like that, you know, that role is probably pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You got to kind of look and go see big picture. What can we get better at? How can we be more efficient? Things like that.
Yeah. And, you know, as time has gone on and I've taken on, you know, more leadership or more of a leadership role with the company, that is something that, you know, you have to spend time on is the strategic, you know, reviewing, mm-hmm. making sure that things are going in a good direction. It's difficult to do that, especially, you know, with, I think our culture at our company is a lot about doing, you know, right. I was just mentioning we're this self-performing company and everyone's focused on doing, building. And that kind of that crosses into our office staff as well, where it's, everyone just wants to do. And so taking a step back and taking a higher level view, you know, having some vision out into the future is not always an easy thing. I love ideas.
Yeah.
I love thinking, think time.
Yep.
But, you know, at some point you have to translate the thinking and the ideas into benefit for the team, or people aren't going to want to be on the team.
Is that pretty well received just by everyone in the company, you know, as you change and like get more efficient and better and more strategic about certain things?
Yeah, I think so. I think when jobs are able to be done maybe with a little less stress,
yeah,
it's the same task, it's the same work. This could be for any task in the company. It's the same work, but if it's done with a little less stress or a little bit more understanding about what the end goal is, you know, people enjoy that environment a little bit better. You know, sometimes, you know, people in general are kind of sometimes their own limiters. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to make that space and time. There's probably some book. I'm not sure which book this is, but there's like a matrix of importance and urgency. Mm. And so if things in the one quadrant are not important and not urgent, well, those things you just don't do.
Right.
If it's important and urgent, you got to do it right now. But where that planning and visioning and being out in the future, that's in the important but not urgent quadrant. Right. And it's hard to spend time in there because there's too much urgent
intentional
stuff.
Time, yeah. And you really do have to like just set that time. You know, one of the things that we're, you know, we're a lot newer and we have a lot smaller team than you guys do. But there's, you know, the business principles, you know, are similar throughout a lot of, you know, industries and sizes. And, you know, I've been reading more books about it too, just like the foundational elements of like companies, you know, the core values, the mission, vision, value, the, you know, things like that, and how at the beginning or just whenever you can get so caught up and just go, go, go. But if you don't lay those foundational things out, how that can hinder you long term.
Yeah. People being on kind of the same wavelength for the purpose, the mm-hmm. why we're doing this together. I think that's important. There's reason for me to want to, you know, support the team and do good work behind what our mission statement is, you know, for example. During this kind of pandemic cycle, we found ourselves relying on our mission statement probably more so than we ever had before. And it's because, you know, none of us had gone through that before. Mm-hmm. And there was decisions to be made that were, it was just a lot of incomplete information. Right. You know, but you had to continue to go forward, and with, you know, keeping the safety of our team, you know, at top of mind, that made some decisions very easy. So safety is a core value of the company. You know, our mission statement is serving customers, supporting our communities, and sustaining our families through quality construction. So we always take that lens of kind of our three impact groups, which is our customers, right, communities, and our families, which is the families of the Beneke team members. And when we had to, let's say, go forth without a clear answer, you know, just being rooted in this is why we exist was helpful.
How do you, you know, do you, when you guys, you know, you kind of take over, because is your dad, you know, they still involved very heavily in the company?
Yeah, so my dad, John, he's and my uncle, Jim, they were partners, yep, for decades prior. They were, but actually they were the third generation of the company.
Wow.
So I mentioned the name change of the company in 2016 to Beneke Construction from Alvin E. Beneke, Inc. Mm-hmm. Alvin was the founder of the company in 1937.
Wow.
But yeah, John and Jim, they did great things for the company. They really grew it into, you know, there was already a great reputation.
Absolutely, yeah.
But they maintained it, grew upon it. And I would say my Uncle Jim is essentially retired at the moment. Mm-hmm. He still serves on our board of directors, as does my dad, John. And John, he spends a little bit more time out of the office than he used to, but still is engaged with a few customers and runs a few projects and essentially is there. He's there with his wisdom and knowledge.
Right.
And I am very lucky that he's there because his dad actually passed at a pretty early age. I never knew my grandpa. Mm-hmm. And I'm baffled at that, that advice wasn't there for him, right, when he was going through what I'm going through. And, you know, I'm just blessed and really grateful that he's available for anything I need.
I mean, I would imagine it's not easy to just let go completely too and go, okay, I'm done. You know, I'm going to go spend my time in Florida now or something like that. You know, after doing it for so many years and seeing the company grow and things like that, you know, to some extent, I think you would really want to be on and still be like, yeah, this is, it's fun. Continue to see it grow and flourish and, you know, see son and family take over kind of thing.
Yeah. I definitely have witnessed the challenge in, you know, that transition into the next phase of their careers, I'll call it. We didn't really even use the word retirement, you know, as my Uncle Jim kind of phased out of the day to day with the company.
it's not ever like a day then just gone.
No, there was no day.
Yep.
And that day still hasn't come.
Right.
As I said, he's still, you know, serving as an advice giver on our board and invaluable advice at times too. Sometimes his advice is very succinct, but very wise. Right. It could be a 3-word email with a question that has been posed to him. And you just kind of stare at it for a little bit, and then you go, thank you.
Yeah.
That was a great nugget.
That's great. You know, I didn't even realize you're fourth generation then.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Fourth generation. Yeah, it's kind of cool. And, you know, I've got my fifth generation in the studio.
That's right.
With us, although she's in kindergarten, so she hasn't quite started her work in the shop yet.
Yeah, cutting hoses.
Weed whipping, yeah. But just moving things. At times, I'm like, why am I moving this from here to there? Because tomorrow, I'm going to move that from there to here. Why are we doing this? Yeah. I never really understood what I was doing, but I was ready to go.
Yeah,
I'll do it, whatever it is.
Yep. No, that's one of the things, you know, because again, like you even mentioned before we were talking, was there is a lot of family businesses. There's a lot of, you know, multi-generational companies in this area, and but some of the things that I hear when there is, you know, the son kind of takes over, and you know, a lot of times again, like they don't just retire and gone, but there is a, hey, you know, you're not the owner of this. Was there ever like a, you know, leadership team kind of like switch or? Because I have heard it where leadership is big, just like the business foundations, the core values, things like that, to where, you know, your dad, your uncle, they had their core people and they might still be part of the company. But, you know, as you come in and as you change different things or continue to grow and innovate, you know, do you surround yourself with kind of a team, core team of individuals that, you know, you've set, or is that something that you're still doing even today?
You know, it's always evolving.
Yeah.
And there's lots of folks at the company that have been with the company for, let's just say, 30 plus years. One particular person in our office has been there 42 years.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. I can't even imagine that, you know, but I work with her every day. Mm-hmm. So there's great people that have great advice. So I'll just use the example of our general superintendent. So his role, you know, 5-10 years ago was superintendent. He was running big projects, probably our biggest projects. And as leadership had evolved and my cousin kind of became the president of the company, that was one, I'd say, significant change that's really helped out, is kind of converting his role into the general superintendent, where he's focusing on building leadership, you know, instead of building buildings. He's supporting all the other superintendents. So he's been in a great leadership role with the company. You know, we do have kind of an operations group that meets, actually since the pandemic, we've been meeting twice a week. And that's been, we've kept that practice. And that's really great. But we didn't do a big changing of the guard or anything like mm-hmm. that. It's just kind of this evolution over time.
It just keeps evolving, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me because, you know, you hear all these different stories and, you know, how they do it and things like that. But there isn't, again, with business, there's no set rules. There's no set, this is how you have to do it, you know, and every business is different, you know, and like to me, there's something exciting about there is no set path of what we necessarily have to do. and each day is unique and exciting, you know, within that.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think the idea is maybe the smaller the company, the more nimble and agile the company can be with decision making and that. But in reality, you know, it's really how quickly are the leaders comfortable with making decisions, you know, and then they can get the bus going in a direction and it goes.
Yep. What gets you excited about the construction industry?
You know, we get to work with a lot of people that, you know, make things for the community, or, you know, in a way we're a service industry.
Yep.
We are helping people that have inventions, or helping people that need to start a new restaurant or start their own business, or through healthcare. You know, we're helping patients indirectly by providing excellent construction. So that's rewarding, knowing that, you know, we're helping people. You know, we're not necessarily inventing or making a product, but we're helping people achieve their goals and helping the community. And you get to meet just a total variety of different folks, different industries. So, you know, we were working on a kind of a biotechnology lab over here, and a similar team that was working on that project is also building a restaurant, like less than a couple miles away. You know, yeah. It's just bizarre that you could be doing these two different projects and totally different requirements, but at the end of the day, it's construction.
Mm-hmm. Do you get to, you know, just through the process of, you know, working with these different companies and industries, you know, do you kind of get like an inside look of, you know, how they operate, you know, what they do? I mean, that's one of the things I honestly tell people, like, that it excites me, because, you know, we get to come in from a video marketing strategic standpoint and go, you know, what are issues that we could help mitigate or solve, you know, through video. So, like, I geek out about, like, just how, you know, businesses operate and how they market and how they hire and, you know, things like that. You know, for you guys in a construction standpoint, you know, it is usually on that early stages, or not necessarily, because if they're building a bigger building or an addition, do you get to kind of like see how that, you know, how they operate, or is it more just this is what we need kind of thing, and this is why
you definitely get, you know, to talk to the customers pretty deeply. You know, you get to understand their business a little bit, what they need, and that's usually through either remodeling or expansion. So a lot of that lens is growth. You know, whether it's they're hiring, they need more space to make more things, they need to enhance, you know, their offering to their customers. They want something a little bit better for their own team, you know, recruiting and retention. You see right now a lot of folks are investing in their teams. They're investing in their businesses so that they can become, you know, a better place to work. It's, I don't know the statistics going on right now, but there's a lot of people changing jobs, you know, and there's a lot of competition for being the place that people want to come work. Mm-hmm. I got to mention, you know, we're one of the best places to work in Southeast Minnesota.
Where's that written?
It's on our website.
Okay. No, that's great. It is. I mean, it seems like everyone's needing help, you know, to some extent, you know, not that it's, I guess some businesses are really, I mean, they're shutting down early or they're not doing this or that. You know, a lot of those being like restaurants or retail and things, but there really is like a need for people in the workforce, because everybody seems to be hiring right now.
Yeah, definitely. Where'd everybody go?
That's right.
I don't understand it.
They all retired.
Some people did retire early.
Yeah.
You know, pandemic, there wasn't, some people were given the opportunity to maybe have a soft landing or retire with a severance package or something like that. People took it. Others probably just didn't really like, they knew they could retire and didn't want to deal with, you know, all the COVID restrictions, et cetera. So just, hey, I'm going to be done now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just, half the young people went to work in the metaverse. They're gone. They're never coming back to real life.
We could have just a whole podcast on that. I don't understand it whatsoever.
Yeah, it's pretty competitive right now. I mean, the demand for services and, you know, mm-hmm. your services, construction services, it's high.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs people to do that work.
Do you think there's less younger people getting into construction?
That's a good question. I think there was a gap from people getting into construction back when there was like the recession in 2009-10. That was kind of a time where people left the industry
mm-hmm.
and people were not hiring. So there wasn't really that upward momentum from the young folks. So that kind of stifled, you know, a certain demographic of people that left but never came back to construction.
Right.
They left out of necessity. There was no work. And then young people weren't getting in. Today, it seems like there is a pretty good, you know, perception of what trades can provide from a financial security standpoint. Pride in the work. You get to work outside. You get to work with your friends sometimes. I mean, it's really a great career. It's just difficult. It is difficult to break into an industry without experience, you know? So like, for example, we have apprentices that are on the team and we usually bring on several apprentices a year.
Mm-hmm.
But if we need, you know, let's just hypothetically say we needed to hire 20 people this year, it would be challenging for us to hire 20 apprentices. And that's because, you know, statistically speaking, people that haven't been in the industry are a little bit at a greater risk of getting injured on a mm-hmm. job site. So from a risk standpoint, from a team dynamic standpoint, from a completing our contract standpoint, you know, you have to have that mix of experience down to people that are just entering the workforce. And
what's the best route, you know, that somebody out of high school could take? You know, is it doing an apprentice program right away? Is it go to a tech school? Is it, you know, like what's one of the, you know, if you were giving advice to a kid graduating and he wanted to be successful in the construction industry for a long time, you know, what is one of the better routes, you would say?
All right, so there's 507-288-6575 would be one route. 2960 Highway 14 West. Just kidding. I mean, there's lots of different avenues to get into the trades. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's, you know, you could work on HVAC, you can be an electrician, you can lay pipe, you can do demolition, you can do carpentry. There's just so many.
Yeah, but could I come to you and be like, Mike, there's all these different avenues. I don't know what I like. You know, do you have something where they can even like pop through and try each one of those or get trained up in one?
Try it out a little bit.
That ain't it.
You know, there are some of those types of programs that are available for people. Like there's one called a pre-apprenticeship program where people kind of get a little bit of a boot camp, you know, of the trades to see if it's a good fit for them. And then generally that's followed by like a kind of a hiring day and see if people can catch on somewhere. We do, you know, folks from Beneke will go to some of the schools at times and kind of explain the different careers that are available. Earlier this week we had a group from Mankato. They're studying construction management, mm-hmm. but wanted to...
High school?
No, they're college. Okay. It was college. So they wanted to kind of job shadow on a safety audit. So we actually had a site that was doing a safety audit with Minnesota OSHA was on mm-hmm. site.
Yep.
And they were invited, by the way. And then a representative from the AGC were in this program called the CHASE program, which is a kind of a higher end safety criteria for a job site, where we invite this kind of consultative walkthrough with OSHA. And anyway, the three students from Mankato were able to tag along and kind of, one, get experience with a job site, but then two, kind of see how it works in the real world from a safety standpoint.
Did you show them the video we did?
We haven't. So the video we did is going out next Tuesday.
Nice.
It's going out next Tuesday, and it's going to be amazing because as soon as we send it out to our team, I do anticipate, you know, trying to get that out in the community just a little bit out on social media. And
yep.
Hopefully that can be a give people an understanding of what we do as a company.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll spark some interest for, hey, you know what? I think I might need a new opportunity in my life to go work in construction.
I mean, it does, you know, one of the most exciting sites that we go on, I personally, at least, are construction sites. You know, I grew up doing more labor, jobs anyways. And it wasn't until after graduation that I moved into an office. But it's exciting. Like, I like doing it. And it was funny because one time we're shooting pictures and they thought we were OSHA.
That's what OSHA does. Yeah.
But like, no, I'm shooting. Oh, okay. So, it's fun. How do you think technology is changing the industry?
Immensely. I mean, technology doesn't necessarily mean computers either. You know,
right.
Technology can mean tools, equipment. Power tools, it can mean battery power. And, every year we continue to see new tools that make a job either safer or like less strenuous on the body, more productive. And we try to invest in those tools. Part of when the video goes out, part of that presentation is going to be some new tools that we've invested in.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, it does mean technology as far as data collection, data analytics, technology as far as estimating technology, design technology, where maybe you can pre-plan some of the work where you don't run into a problem on the site. You kind of pre-work it out before you get there.
I was going to say too, even with technology on the front end, with drafting and things like that, like construction industry right now, even for people that want them to get in, doesn't even have to be out swinging a hammer or something like that. Like there's tons of stuff even on that front end on a computer that's super important to construction these days.
Yeah, I mean, most of my work is on a computer, sadly, you know. At times you think, geez, I need to get out of here. I need to get on a job site. But a lot of the work and a lot of the planning is, a lot of the communication is done, electronically. It's a great thing too, because you can really keep a lot of people informed on certain things. I mean, a lot of our project information is it's in the cloud. It's accessible mm-hmm. by pretty much anybody on the project that needs to get the information. Whereas before you had to go talk to the person with the information.
Yep.
And you wouldn't get it unless you physically like went over there or called the person, I guess, on their cell phone if they had one or if they wanted to answer it at that time. So the exchange of information it's really key in making sure that things get done correctly and get done one time. I mean, that's obviously a big goal of construction is do it right.
Yes.
Do it right the first time.
Yep. So you're also saying too, if we see you out swinging a hammer, you're probably stressed just getting out of there.
Yeah, actually, that if you do see me doing that,
demolition,
something is probably not quite right.
One of the things I like to always ask people is, being in business, there's a lot of things that come up. There's a lot of hard work with it. There's a lot of long days. What are things that keep you motivated and excited to keep doing it, to keep growing, to see the long-term vision, things like that?
Yeah. That's a great question. I think that does probably evolve over time for people. A lot of my drive has been kind of to do right by the opportunity that's been in front of me. I mean, I'm not lost on the fact that, just by pure luck, I found myself in a advantaged, you know, position and opportunity in life just by the fact of being first, you know, born in America.
Right.
Born a white male. Born in Rochester, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. My parents were very caring, nurturing, and loving. Mm-hmm. So, you know, staying motivated, a lot of it has to do with taking that opportunity and exercising it to its fullest. You know, the biggest waste just out there is not achieving, you know, full potential for people.
Yep.
And I really am trying to push myself to achieve my full potential. And I think that would be like doing right by the opportunity that has been given to me. And some of that is doing right by, you know, my parents. My parents trusted me, and my dad's trusted me to, let's just say, continue his legacy in a way. And I want to do right by that. So that's pretty motivating. But I think over time, it starts to shift a little bit with, you know, I've got my daughter in the room, and you look at, now what is it? Is doing right by my, you know, my own family, my kids. It's doing right by the families that depend on construction as their career, mm-hmm. you know, to make a living. So I guess that's not like a real fiery motivation, but it's what I think about.
That's realistic. I mean, that's especially the pressures of knowing, like, these people that are choosing to, you know, work for you guys and going, we need to take care of these people, you know, and having that pressure to, you know, do right by them, you know, even that kind of thing is just keeps you going. Hey, we can't fail. We can't quit.
Well, I mean, they've given a lot to the company.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to a lot of our team members absolutely do right by each other. They do right by the Beneke family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that needs to be, it absolutely needs to be reciprocated because, you know, really, we're all just people. And we really can't do a lot by ourselves. You know, if you want to just go it alone and tread the path, you're going to burn out. You know, you got to have people around you. You got to have support, you know, that really you just have to have human care around you, mm-hmm. or it's going to be a real difficult road.
That's true. No, that's, you know, one of the, just the, yeah. I mean, I feel the pressure that as we grow, you know, at first it was like the motivation was like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, hustle and I can grind and I can do all this. And then, well, you can continue doing that, but do you want to take it to another level? Then it's more employees. And then it's still an element of like, go, go, go. You know, but now, you know, I don't even get to necessarily like shoot or edit or things like that, and I have to think about the business side of things, but I want to do right by everybody. You know, everyone here is giving me an opportunity to do something that I couldn't do alone, you know. So it's things like that that are super motivating, and I can, you know, that's part of business that I'm like super excited about. You know, we even talked to a gal today that could be a potential hire one day, and just like just the excitement of business, and especially, you know, we're a small business right now. I love the growth aspect of, there's like endless opportunities right now, and so those things definitely get me excited. But I know that you guys really take a big emphasis on your employees. You know, me with the few times that we've done video and worked with you, you know, it's a lot of it is like, it's the team, the people that work here, the morale, the, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, with that, where did you, when or where or how did you go, these people are super important. We need to have a big emphasis on taking care of our employees.
You know, I'd like to say that that was before I was around. You know, it's kind of always been a great big family atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It's almost funny when people will be in our office. Let's use the office as an example for this. But people walk in the door in the morning and they say, "Good morning." Like, and when I was a young kid, I didn't think that was unusual at all. And when there's new people or someone's visiting the office, they always like comment, "That's so nice that everybody says good morning to each other." it's all about the people, and that's a cliche in business, I guess, but it's because it's the truth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you'd mentioned maybe not being in the video side of things as much anymore, and you know, you still need to try to find that passion and, you know, what's going to drive you when you're maybe not doing the thing that you started doing. And if it's the growth, that's great. I think you do have to continue to grow, because if you're not growing, you're kind of going backwards.
Yep.
You're just going to, you know, if you're not growing, you're dying. That's another cliche. I love cliches. They're amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's so much truth to all of them.
Every one of them, yeah.
So you kind of have to continue, you know, improving, continue to grow. But, you know, what's the right growth mentality? Is it try to, you know, 10X every year or whatever? That's not our strategy. I mean, slow and steady wins the race. That's our strategy. That story comes out the same every time. Every time the end is the same. The tortoise always wins. but along the way, you got to take care of people. I think if you do start to get going too fast in a direction, you can start to lose sight of, you know, what got you there, or, right, you know, the part about taking care of the team. So I don't know. That's kind of a philosophy that we've had. And it's a philosophy that a lot of our team members have. You know, this is not us taking care of them. It's we take care of each other.
Right.
And that's a really, you know, humbling aspect of being in our business, because I can't do what most of the people on the Beneke team do. Mm-hmm. I am not a craftsman. I cannot, you know, hang a door. I cannot do some of the skilled work. And a lot of business owners, you know, want to do everything that everyone else does so that they can, you know, lead by example. And I believe in lead by example, but I am just not physically capable of doing the work that our team does. And that's really exciting. That excites me, because then you've got this synergy going, you know, where I've got a role, she's got a role, he's got a role, and everybody's just moving forward with that mission statement in mind and mm-hmm. why we exist.
Where's the future of the company going?
Well, wherever it's going, it'll be slow and steady. I do see a lot of opportunity, you know, in continued development and growth and construction. I do think there's probably more of an emphasis on the relational aspects of the construction process versus maybe the hard bid aspect of construction. So, you know, the traditional model is you have a need for a project, you need an expansion or a remodel, you get an architect to draw it, and then you get bids from the contractors and you select the lowest price. It's like, I don't want to liken a building to really any other product because it's completely unique, but people don't choose hardly anything else that they buy in their life solely on the price. Why would you take the biggest asset, maybe the top investment of your entire life, mm-hmm. and choose it on price? It doesn't make any sense to me. So
especially,
I think,
especially in the cheapest version of that.
Yeah, and usually you get what you pay for. And not to say that we don't compete on price, because we do. I mean, we compete on public work and we're the low price all the time. But I guess more directly to your question, the future probably is more focused on people's experience as they go through a construction project. Because, like I said, it's people treating people well. People want to do work with people that they like to do work with. And you know, our team, even you know, from people working on the projects and on site, you know, to be courteous, to be professional, to thank a customer for the opportunity to have this job, this work. That's a difference, and I think that, you know, we want to continue to.
And that, you know, that traditional idea of how the bidding process works, that's not, is that how all of them are done? Or is, you know, do you have people that have worked with you that are like, we're going to work with you guys regardless of what it comes out to? Or is it really, you know, like how much can you change that?
Well, I mean, it does, you can help advise, let's say, an owner on how they want to do a project. But if that's their mentality, then you just can't change it. And then you just have to compete on price.
But there's got to be certain companies that you've built relationships with, though.
Oh, certainly. Like, yeah. Most of our work is some type of relationship or mm-hmm. a prior relationship. Price is usually a factor.
Right. Part of it, yes.
99% yeah. of the time, it's a factor. But it isn't the factor. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say 99% of the time, it's not the factor, and so I like that direction. You know, there's still public work and, you know, public bidding, and if I had a better system for that, you know, we would have been unrolling it to all the cities and counties and everyone else so that they could buy construction in a better way. But that's kind of the traditional model for them, and sometimes you see projects go bad, you hear horror stories, and a lot of it has to do with because of the way construction was bought. Not a real good system.
Hmm. What I always like to ask, just through your journey, through the things that you've learned, you know, and it doesn't have to be necessarily in construction, but we have, you know, a lot of people listen for different reasons and things like that, but... You know, if you were to give advice to someone getting started or earlier on in their career or something like that, just in business, you know, what kind of advice, you know, would you give that person?
I am not a great advice giver because I have not been around that long, you know.
I bet you know more than you think, though.
I think people have told me that before. You know, you don't know as much as you think you know. You're right. I think advice that I give myself that I think I would share with others is stay positive. Keep a positive mental attitude. It not only helps, you know, your own outlook, yourself, your mood, but it can help other people, you know, keep their mood up, keep their attitude in a positive way. Attitudes are infectious, you know, they are contagious. And if you can stay positive, you're not only going to help yourself, but you're going to help others around you. A lot of business situations can, you know, kind of beat you down into cynicism, negativism. You can sometimes get down, and I get down occasionally. This does happen.
Yep.
But get up the next day, try to get yourself back into that positive headspace, and help yourself and help others. Mm-hmm. I got to ask you, what advice do you have for folks?
Well, I'm even younger than you into it.
That's why it's probably going to be better advice.
That's funny. I ask this every podcast, and I've never actually thought about that, you know, as I as I ask everybody else. It's fine. I mean, to me, I guess you got to be learning new things all the time. I think it goes along with you know, the statement of, if you're not growing, you're dying. If you get to any kind of spot where you think, I'm there, I've learned all I can learn, that's, you know, the furthest from the truth, and that's when you know that you're probably on the downswing of things. Mm-hmm. And I guess the more I talk to people, the more I see inside of different companies, the more books I read, to me, it's the more exciting it gets. And, you know, some of the smartest people in the world are some of the people that read more books than anyone else. And it's just how true knowledge is power. And so now I get excited about the opportunity to learn. I get excited about a book recommendation. I get excited about a coaching program. I get excited for the podcast. I get to talk to business owners that have done this, that are further along than I am. And so to me, yeah, never stop learning.
Great advice. Wise advice. Book recommendations?
Yeah. What do you got?
What do you got?
Right now I'm reading Traction.
Okay.
Have you heard of that?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And I can't think of the guy's name.
Gino Wickman?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. Now, there's some, implementation ideas in there, and I've read the book, but have not implemented any of the specific strategies. I love doing that. Just read the book and then move on. But I just got finished with Gary Vee's new book. Have you heard that one?
Or which one?
I guess I listened to it.
I know. I'm absolutely in that same boat. I listen okay. to all my books.
All right.
Yeah. If the moment I start reading, I'm like, I'm falling asleep. So I'd love to just intentionally listen.
Yeah. I think it's called 12 and a half. I think is what it's called. Pretty new, I think. But it's good. It's really good. You know, he gets going in on some things that I'm not familiar with, you know, the world of NFTs, et cetera. But I do really appreciate his approach and enjoy listening. He reads his own book.
I like when they do that.
So he's the narrator. And so I thought that was pretty cool. You know, there's this other book that actually I found really helpful over the last year and a half, let's say, because pandemic, I got some bad, stressful situations where I was just like, I mean, once I broke, but I definitely had some times where I needed some extra help, with mental health. And one of the books that I was reading kind of as a result of getting some help was Mayo Clinic's Guide to Stress-Free Living.
Really?
And it's written by Mayo Doc. And it's a great listen, really, for anybody. And you don't have to be in a bad situation to read it. You know, mm-hmm. You could be from wherever you're at. And I'm actually going through it the second time right now, just kind of, before bed listening to it. It's terrific.
I'll have to check that out.
So there, maybe that's even better advice. Read the Mayo Clinic's Guide to Stress-Free Living, and you will be floating on a cloud for the rest of your career.
Be better for it. Yeah. Well, that's great. Mike, I really do appreciate you coming on today.
Yeah, really appreciate it, Josh. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to
be. Love the studio. I have not been in a such a professional podcast studio before. We joke about we have a conference room that fits one person.
Yep.
And we joke that's our podcast studio. It's got our server in it, you know, a bunch of files. It's not really a podcast studio. Yeah. That's what we call it.
Well, you could start one.
Yeah, well.
The Benneke Podcast.
We call it that for the recruiting. So, you know, people, we got a podcast studio. It's the server closet.
Go in there, start talking to yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, hey, again, big thanks to the listeners. As always, keep sharing this out. I hope you guys are continuing to learn new things, and we'll see you guys on the next one.